Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of sparking revival. Committed to spreading the gospel, this is your Kingdom Crossroads podcast. And now, your host, T.S. Wright. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the show that blends biblical truth and discipleship to bring a kingdom-building message every week. Welcome to the God Center Concept. Let's start today with a Bible reading. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and get those out. And we will also display this on the screen for you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Now, if you're familiar with this verse, you know that this is the Great Commission. And this verse really lays out the plan that Jesus had for his followers once he departed and he would send back the Holy Spirit, which we'll learn about in Acts 2. And I think it's important that we start to visualize that plan and understand how to put that into action. And so let's talk about that today. But first, let's start with the Bible reading itself. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." So the Great Commission is set forth by Jesus, and it's the authority that is given to him from the Father that he now gives that over to the apostles and all the other followers that would come afterwards. So I think it's important that we just take that in for a minute, because this message is also a message directly to us. And so we need to make sure that we understand what the power and the process of discipleship looks like. And today, that is what we're going to talk about. So, discipleship. The God-centered concept that you just heard, the name of our show, the entire series is basically designed to teach and show how to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. See, discipleship is at the heart of the gospel, and it is what Jesus left us. It's the model to follow. If we look throughout the gospels, Jesus is consistently modeling exactly what this is supposed to look like. You see, the thing that happens as Jesus continues his ministry is that his followers start to get an understanding of what to do. And then, of course, you know, he sends them out two by two, and they do all the things that Jesus told them to do. But what he's really teaching them is what discipleship looks like. And it's basically go and then start talking to people, start going into their homes, start getting them in the place where they're at. And I think that's the important part, is discipleship is about getting to where you're at and then
connecting that from that point and walking people through a process until they are ready to be a full follower of Jesus. And when I say a full follower, I'm talking about somebody who is devoted to sharing their faith, building up and making other disciples, and then sending them out. Because that's really what discipleship is. It is the heart of the gospel. You see, this gospel message is not just about salvation. Where we get it wrong is that we get so caught up in the salvation that we forget that there's a growth process afterwards. And I feel like, at least in today's church, because this is the day and age that we live in, and there's been this issue to some degree in every age of the church, but what's happening is that people are focused on salvation, but they're not focused on building people up. And then we get things confused as to what real discipleship is. So the point of today is to start that process, teaching you what that is and what that's going to look like. So discipleship in its most simplest terms is learning how to walk with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit and then learn how to share that with others. That's just an easy phrase to remember. So what we're going to do is we're going to get into some steps with discipleship. However, first, we need to make sure that we understand that there are two foundations that are needed to walk with Jesus. And these two foundations, you're probably familiar with them, but we still have to set that as the precedent and the part that gives us that solid ground. I once heard it said that it's like building a house. Well, there's this thing called a plumb line, and that plumb line has to be perfect. Okay, it cannot be off at all, or your floors and the foundation of the house is going to be uneven. So we've got to have these two foundations and understand what they are before we move forward. So obviously they are God's word, the Bible, and they are Jesus's spirit, which we call the Holy Spirit, which comes from God. You know, we know that there's the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes and lives in us, and he is the one that directs our action and speaks into us and guides us throughout our whole entire life. The great thing about the Holy Spirit is that he has so many functions that he plays in us, and sometimes I think there's functions that we don't understand. However, we're going to go to, if you want to, tune in your Bibles to John chapter 14, and we're just going to look at a couple of verses to give at least a basic understanding of what the Holy Spirit does. So here we go, John 14, and it's going to start with verse 16. And again, we will display this up on the screen. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he abides with you and will be in you. So if we go down to verse 26, it says, but the advocate, there's that word advocate again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have told you. You see, he's going to tell them everything they need to do. He's going to live inside them. He's going to abide with them, which means abiding is just like the branch and the tree. Okay. Or you got that big tree and then you got these branches. We're those branches. The tree's the one that nourishes us. It's the foundation. It's the one that holds us and it protects us. But we have to abide with it for it to keep that protection. So what happens is as this tree and the branch is there, as long as that branch stays attached and doing what it's supposed to do, its part, then the tree will hold that branch up and it will give it a lot of protection. It gives it the nutrition it needs, gives us the stability it needs. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. He is our stability. And he's the one that protects us, and he's also the one that nourishes us. A part that people struggle with is the nourishing part, because We have to allow him in, and we have to allow him to work, which means we have to submit our will to his will. It cannot just be at salvation, but it needs to be a continual process of the way we live. So let's think of it this way. The Holy Spirit has, we'll say, these basic functions. Number one, it's our advocate, and it's the advocate for Jesus in us. So he's advocating the truth of the Father through Christ in us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He is the advocate. And he also advocates for us. And that's the thing we have to remember. If we're abiding in him, he advocates for us. So he's an advocate in all kinds of ways. Next, he teaches and guides us into all truth. What truth are we talking about? Well, it seems like today there's many, many truths out there. There are. Everybody's got their truth. Everybody has, they're living their truth. Well, here's the truth. There's only one truth. And that is, it is through the power of the Word of God. God's Word is the truth. And Jesus came to display that, to manifest that here on earth, and tell us that we need that truth in our lives. You see, this truth is the key aspect of everything that we do. Because again, it goes back, we have those two foundations, the Holy Spirit, who's advocating, selling the truth, guiding the truth, teaching the truth. And then what is there? There's God's Word. And they're going to be in agreement. That's the thing. And we'll talk about God's Word in a minute. However, the last thing that the Holy Spirit does, one of the basic things, he abides with and lives in us. See, that abiding in us is, or excuse me, with us. Again, we've talked about how the advocate, how he provides the protection, and he lives in us. Think of this. The Bible tells us that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we were bought at a price. So you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you can read about that and how that is manifested. And there's other phrases and passages in the Bible that have that. But for now, we're just focusing on the fact that he's inside of us. See, as temples, which we are, he lives in us, and then he lives through us. And that is exactly where that surrender piece, it matters. We have to be willing to be surrendered. So, as we have covered now the Holy Spirit, let's just look real quick at God's Word. So, God's Word is the Bible. And this phrase of how describing the Bible is really something that we need to just take a minute, pause, even meditate on. You know, it's kind of that be still moment. You know, be still and know that I am God. Well, guess what? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read this, and then we're just going to pause for a second and let that kind of soak in. The Bible represents God's voice and signature through the written word, asserting the ownership and authority over all creation. Let me just read that again. The Bible represents God's voice and signature through the written word, asserting his authority and ownership over all creation. That means he owns everything, and he has authority and all the rights that authority gives him. That is so important. We need to remember that. In Genesis 1, Moses records that God created the heavens and the earth, emphasizing how God spoke and then brought forth creation. His voice signifies his ownership, authority, and will over everything he has made, a theme that runs from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. The Bible is derived from God and inspired by the power of the Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit again, and penned by individuals he chose for this purpose. It is inerrant, it is reliable, and it holds authoritative weight. That means it has the authority to be able to force us into doing his will. So he has the ability to do that. It says in Philippians chapter 2, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. So you can go to Philippians chapter 2 and you can read that entire passage. And that first part of that passage in Philippians 2, as you go through verses 1 through 12, you get to the end, and it talks about the culminating result is that Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So God will enforce his will. It is going to happen. And so we need to understand that. And the Bible shows that. It has that level of authority. So think about the level of respect that we need to give the Bible. Since it is the Word of God, and since, and just to give another little phrase to it, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That means all the earth will be destroyed. Everything can be removed. Even the heavens can collapse, but the Word of God will never, ever pass away. That's pretty strong. So think of the level of respect that that commands. That means we need to put the Word of God front and center in our lives. It is our foundation, and the Holy Spirit attests to that. So they're going to work together. All right, they're going to be in alignment. You will know if it's from the Holy Spirit because it will perfectly align with God's Word. Those two are always in agreement. Remember that. I think that's so important when we're listening for the voice of God in our lives. And that is something we'll cover in a later episode. But for now, the two are in agreement, and they are the foundation of everything that we are all about. Every part of us comes from the Word of God. We were created by it. When Adam and Eve sinned, we were condemned by it. And then we are saved by it because of the gospel. And all of that is a part of God's Word. His redemptive plan is the centerpiece of it. And it's because of that sin, had to make that the centerpiece so that he could bring his creation back to him and reconcile it to him. So for now, let's jump in and understand true discipleship, because the focus here is to understand what discipleship looks like, and to give it, we want to give it the components of it so that you understand what that process should be. Let's start here. Understanding that God's Word is represented in the Bible, and the power of the Holy Spirit is how we're supposed to live, and he guides us into all truth. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to teach us about discipleship through God's Word. That's right. So we need both of these pieces for real discipleship to take place. To live out the gospel, it is impossible to do so without understanding discipleship. Our calling is to share our faith and help others live it out while we live it out ourselves. So there's an idea that's called multiplication. Okay, we're going to multiply. And if I work with 10 people and then eventually they learn and they each go out and start working with 10 people, and then each of their 10s go get 10 more, you see how that multiplies and grows exponentially very quickly. That is the model that Jesus left us. He did. He left this model of discipleship of multiplying. And we are all called to make disciples. Where the differences can come in is that, and here it is that we each have some different specific callings in life and different giftings. And so through those giftings, we need to be making disciples. Because if we go back to Matthew chapter 28, which was which was kind of the signature verse here, discipleship, Matthew 28 doesn't specify that there's anybody not involved. We're all involved in the discipleship. We are. I think it's very important that we learn and ask ourselves, are we growing to a point where we can disciple others? You see, this is how you know you're in the will of God, is that you are either discipling or you're being discipled to the point where you can disciple. That's right. Now, I'm going to put this little side caveat on all this, in that the real discipler is the Holy Spirit, but we are the vehicle with which the Holy Spirit works through. So if we're not open to being worked through, then discipling is a much more difficult thing, because Jesus designed it to work through people to expand to other people. And the New Testament is full of examples. You can start reading the letters of Paul. You can read the book of Acts. You can go through and look at the other epistles. You can just look at Jesus is modeling the Gospels. That is discipleship. So here we go. And remember this, the end goal is for people who are being discipled to eventually disciple. That's how you know you're growing in Christ. That's it. So once we've received Christ, then we need to walk through the discipleship process. Remember this, Paul trained. He trained before he started ministering. We're talking about Paul here. The greatest theologian, the greatest apostle as far as getting the message out, the one that really exemplified the message of Christ. And he did it in so many ways. The New Testament is full of the life of Paul and all that he did, his writings, his actions. Paul is a kind of a piece that Jesus used to take his word to the world. And it was because partly of how much he had been trained at an earlier age, but also the fact that he understood the Roman Empire and he knew how to work through that empire. And I think that's an important aspect of why he chose Paul. Paul was persecuting the church effectively. Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus. He changes him. And then a series of events, Paul ends up having to train before he really starts his ministry. So here's the thing. Are we willing to train? Are we willing to train and be discipled? We need to have discipleship programs because these programs are geared and they need to be designed to teach us how to disciple. You cannot walk the path of righteousness. It's impossible without being trained first. So let's get into some components here in standard, what I call standards of discipleship. Every discipleship plan should have these four standards, and we'll display them on the screen. Number one, embracing the truth. Number two, cleansing the heart. Number three, fixing the eyes. And number four, carrying the message. Jesus displayed all four of these, and he used all four of these in teaching the apostles. I cannot describe and I cannot emphasize it enough that these four components, these four standards need to be involved in every discipleship program. And so when you're being, if you're being discipled and they don't have at least, they may not be just, those four standards may not just be that clear, but if you don't see those four components in there, that's not a true discipleship program. Because you've got to do all four. You see, embracing the truth and cleansing the heart and fixing the eyes prepares you to carry the message. We can just teach you how to share your faith. That's easy. That's the techniques to doing it aren't really that difficult. You just need some experience and grow with it. But what about when all the other stuff starts to happen? Because I promise you, the enemy's going to attack you when you start discipling others. When you start being effective for the kingdom of God, the enemy's going to find every way in the world to attack. He just is. That's what he's going to do. He does not want more kingdom builders because that means more people are being brought in the kingdom, and he's against that. So remember, we not only have the advocate of the Holy Spirit, but then we have an adversary, all right, Satan and all the demons, and they are consistently at war with us, all right? We'll talk about spiritual warfare in another episode, but these three help prepare us to be able to do the fourth, and we need to be prepared because those attacks will come, I promise you. I have personally been attacked. I've had people around me attacked in many different ways, and it can be a sobering moment when you start to realize that's happening, but then it also tells you you're starting to be effective. So remember that. It's also a sign that you're being effective because now the enemy's afraid of you. And he's got to do whatever he can to throw you off course. But these four components are so necessary, all right, because those first three help prepare you for when you do get attacked and how to walk through it. And you know this, Jesus wins, okay? He's going to win. You don't need to worry about that part. And he will lead you through it through the power of his Spirit. He will lead you through every part of it. But you need to be equipped to understand how to tap into the Holy Spirit to do that. And that's what this is going to do. So, part of embracing the truth And we're going to start with that first component. I have written 4 books on this subject. And these 4 books, all right, are based on the standards. So Embracing the Truth, and I have 10 lessons. Then I have Cleansing the Heart, and I have 10 lessons. And then we have Fixing the Eyes in 10 lessons. And then we have Carrying the Message in 10 lessons. And we're going to put out a discipleship series on this and give you the opportunity to be able to learn this step by step. All right, in 40 lessons. Paul trained, we must train too. And so these 40 lessons will get you prepared. Now, I will tell you, once you go through that, you got to keep growing even after that. It doesn't end just because you went through the 40 lessons. It's not that you've arrived, okay? Now you got to start putting those into practice, and then you got to start getting detailed about each step and getting more information and always continually growing in the spirit, all right, and growing in our knowledge and our wisdom. So this ownership thing is a big deal because it really, everything about embracing the truth, everything about cleansing the heart, everything about fixing your eyes and carrying the message is understanding who owns you, which, by the way, is lesson one. We teach how God owns you. We walk you through each step. We do these things because it's so important. Okay? It's so important. But they all center around this one concept that God owns us. And he gets the final say. He gets to be the deciding voice and the one that gets, it's his will that we do. We surrender our willpower to him. I think it's so important that we grasp that concept that God owns you. And he has all authority and all the rights of ownership over us. So as we start to embrace all the pieces of discipleship and we walk through this plan, I cannot emphasize to you enough, always coming back to the first lesson. It's fundamentals. I'm an old coach. I used to coach and teach. And what would happen is that as the season would go on, we'd get so involved in game plans and action that sometimes we would forget the fundamentals. And the first fundamental is understanding all the pieces of ownership and how God owns us. That is a fundamental that we need to know. Just like praying and reading your Bible and submitting to the Holy Spirit through prayer and meditation and fasting, those are all those fundamentals that we got put in practice. Sometimes we call them the spiritual disciplines, but those are those fundamentals. And so now in wrapping up, remember this, discipleship is a process and we need to be willing to walk